This podcast is supported by Elite Sports Travel. Visit elitesportstravel.co.uk to view the various packages available to watch live NFL games in the US. Bookings are currently available for the Super Bowl in February and also the 2023 season in Las Vegas. Now let's get into the podcast.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Neil Reynolds Podcast in association with Elite Sports Travel. Happy New Year to you all. Thank you for joining us. And today we've got two very special guests who've got great stories to tell. But first, just to let you know, Elite Sports Travel, they are our title sponsor. They're still offering packages to the Super Bowl in Arizona. So check out them on social media at Elite Sports Trav. So that's at Elite Sports Trav. And those guys who are first class can help you out. So today's guests are two graduates from the NFL Academy in the UK, and they are great stories. The Peter Clark, who started out playing as a junior for the London Warriors, is off to play Division I college football at Temple University. He's a tight end, and linebacker Kofi Taylor-Barracks is a young lad who I've been watching play for many years. He started out at the Kent Exiles, went to the NFL Academy, and is off to play Division I college football at the University of Colorado. So here is my conversation with these two outstanding young men. Kofi, Peter, thank you for joining me. Let's talk about your earliest American football memories first. We'll go through your journey to where you're now off to Division I colleges. Peter, for you, when did you first get into American football?
So I first started playing flag football in my secondary school at the time. It's just like an after-school club run by the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was like a project they started running. From there, I got sent to just like a Baffa team, the London Warriors, under Coach Tony Allen and the staff there. They took great care of me. I fell in love with the game there, played 5v5 flag, 5v5 kid, and then into the NFL Academy, where luckily I still play under Coach TA and some of the other Warriors coaching staff, and they've now sent me all the way from playing Baffa level American football to Division I college.
Fantastic. This is what's so great about you two and your stories, because you've been through the ranks. Kofi, I don't know how old you were, but I remember watching you 5v5 for the Kent Exiles. You probably were about 15, I reckon. I've been watching you for a number of years. Did you get into the sport before you joined the Exiles, or was that really kind of where you found it?
That's really where I found American football, to be fair. Obviously, a friend of mine, Noah Trudar. I don't know if that name ring
anything. Yeah, I know Noah.
Yeah, Noah was like, Kofi, you might as well come down, just see what it's like and everything. So I was like, you know what, let me just give it a try. Came down, I kind of just fell in love with the sport, kind of fell in love with just the physicality of it and how much, how high demand it was and everything. So I was like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to take it and see how far I go. And then the NFL Academy came around. And then from there, that's kind of just where it like took off. Obviously, I've had my fair share of trips to America, to the US, to try and get my offers and everything. But the Academy, they helped and developed me into the guy that I am today. So always thankful for them, thankful for the people around me, the coaches, staff. So yeah.
Did you play against each other? Did you play against each other in 5v5? No. Nah. Oh, that would have been... Because I know the year before you played, Kofi, the Warriors played the Exiles like three times in 1 year. I remember that.
Yeah.
So Kofi's a year above me. So the year that he went into the Academy, the year before that was my last season playing the 5v5, and then he went up. So we just missed each other. But yeah, that would have been fun.
That would have been... That would have been pretty
good. I wasn't there. That's what it is. Peter's
luck. Wow. Here we go. That's how we're starting this off.
Yeah, man.
Peter, you must be proud that you've come through the ranks, because I know through the academy there were other athletes who were brought in from different sports and then taught American football. But for you, this was your sport. This was your journey all the way through the grassroots to go to where you're now about to go, to Temple University. That must be even more special.
Yeah, like, knowing that this was the game that I loved and that I've known for so long, like, it feels good knowing that I'm going to the next level and it's the highest level you can play at before you get to the NFL. So for me, it's a huge accomplishment. But I take great pride in knowing that I've played for the same coaching staff. Like, that means so much to me, because it's not just like I've been handed from one team to the other. Like, this set of coaches have coached me from nothing now to the highest level I can play at. So for me, I have so much pride in wearing the NFL Academy colours and the Warriors colours too.
Yeah. Kofi, for you, your favourite memory playing in Baffa, was it winning that championship?
Yeah, it was. That's my favourite moment. The reason why is because we had a rough start to the tournament. We had a rough start to the tournament. We took a loss to Blitz. And actually, when we lost against Blitz, London Blitz, was when the first trials were opened. And that was for the BSC Bears. So we had to leave halfway through that game to get to New River and everything. But we got our revenge. We came back, we dominated. And then when we got to the final stages, I got a game sealing pick in one of the last games. So it was like, yeah, because I was like major factor of winning the game. So I was just like, yeah, this is it, man. That winning feeling. So just, I love winning, you know what I mean? So I'm just always, yeah, it's a good day.
Good feeling. Good day at the office. So Peter, the Academy, obviously that must have helped your game even more. You've kind of touched on it a little bit, but the fact that you could practice three times a week, be in the gym and compete against the likes of Kofi and be out there with other top athletes. How much do you think that did play a part in where you're heading?
Like, I can't stress enough, like, how different the game is going from 5v5 to 11-man football.
Yeah.
Like, that in itself is a game changer. It's like learning a completely different game. So the foundational skills is in stance, releases, catching the ball, like breakdowns, all the foundation skills transfer, but the understanding of the game is completely different. So the NFL Academy do a great job in developing your understanding of football. And that just goes hand in hand with things like the weight room. Like, Kofi can testify what he came in as. And what I came in as is, like, we're different people now. Like, we're not recognizable to what we were before. So they really develop your game on not just a football standpoint, but you're a way more well-rounded person. You're bigger and more athletic. Like, you understand the game more. And then the fundamental skills just build with that too. So they really develop your game on all standpoints.
Kofi, would that be the same for you?
Yeah, as Peter said, when I first came into the academy, compared to now, I'm a completely different guy. It's like two different people. And obviously, once you start learning about how the body works and everything, as Peter said, the fundamentals are there. They transition from, obviously, the recreational standpoint to the competitive standpoint, the elite level. But when I came in, I was like 6'1", 6'4". 170, 180 pounds. And then you just develop, you just grow, you kind of like fall in love with the grind and everything. So they teach that 1% better mentality. Coach T always says 1% better every day. So if you try to get 1% better every day, then that's when you start to see big changes. So
how did you deal with, and Peter, I'm not sure, I think you were there for lockdown as well, right? When the yeah. Academy, you know, and I know you were, Kofi, because I know you may have jumped a few fences along with George to get some workouts in. I can edit that bit out, don't worry. How did you deal with that? Because, you know, and I mean, I just speak for my household, he was chomping at the bit, he wanted to be practicing every day, sitting at home. Peter, how did you deal with lockdown? Because you had this, you got this vision, you got this journey, right? And you don't want to be knocked off it. How frustrating was that?
Yeah, like, it's so tough because, like, you know, to get recruited to the next level, you need to be playing games, right? So first off, there's no games because of COVID. But second of all, you can't get ready for games because there's no training as a team. So it's just like, you're so hungry for the littlest bit of football you can get. So, like, I'm sure Kofi will remember me saying, like, me, Kofi, George as well, like a bunch of guys that are now playing college football too. Like, we was meeting up every day. We'd practice, 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 go eat food, go back to the field, practice, 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 1v1s. Yeah. Well, I can't tell you how many 1v1s we ran that summer.
Right. Seydou was there, wasn't he? Seydou was there, Seydou, Tyrese Johnson-Fisher, Darren, yeah.
Darren, Tariq.
Yep.
All the That's guys were there.
Where we're made and stuff, the grind. So you wanted it the most. We went through, obviously, we may have done some things that we weren't supposed to do, but we ended up doing those things and ended up paying off, like getting to the field, waking up early in the mornings. You have that kind of hustler's mentality. For me, the biggest thing was like, I was in the academy for a year already. So I had a strict regime. So I would wake up at 4 a.m. I would leave my house by 5. I'll get to North London by 7 o'clock and everything. So once that cycle kind of breaks, it's kind of like frustrating. So like, oh, what do I do with myself now? So for me, it was really a mental thing. Obviously, physically, I was always, you know, there. I was always doing my push-ups at home. I'd always go on runs and everything. But once you get back into that competitive spirit, that's when you realize, yeah, this is how bad you really want it. So,
and you did it yourselves. I remember texting TA one day and saying, your boys are out there running one-on-ones, 7-on-7s. They're doing as much as they can, and they're on their own without coaches. I mean, it was a credit. It was a credit to you guys. Peter, when did you start to believe you could make it to where you are now? And obviously, you try not to look too far ahead, I'm sure.
Yeah, so like everyone has big dreams, and like I'm someone who like believes in that confidence breeds success and success breeds confidence. So like I was lucky enough to have guys like Kofi, Seydou, Darren that are older than me that were already in the academy and already had that like advanced knowledge of the pathway. So I was training with these guys, I was living around these guys, so those guys really like pushed me to be better from pre-academy going in. So when I went into the academy, Kofi can tell you, I was screaming like, I'm going Division One or I'm going home. Like, and it was like a hustle of like, get to the gym early, make sure you're doing everything in the weight room. Like, it sounds like cockiness, and it must have sounded like cockiness to some of the guys, but like, I didn't care. Like, as long as I was stepping in the right direction, I wasn't bothered what everyone else thought. And it all pays off in the end if you believe in yourself. So it's one of those things.
Was there a moment for you, Kofi, or did you kind of have that the second you went into the academy? Because it's a big step up, even from Baffa to the academy. You know, you suddenly realize that's the next step along your pathway. You know, it's a bigger pond. When did you kind of think, I can do this?
Really cemented into my head that I was going to be great and I was going to, you know, make it far in this sport. From when we broke up in March 2020, that's when COVID first came around properly. Mm-hmm. So March 2020, I realized, wow, I'm actually putting in so much time, so much effort into this. I've sacrificed a lot. There's no way that I can't make it, you know what I mean? I started seeing myself growing physically, obviously, with the training and everything that me, Seydou, Tyreek, Darren, Peter, Honest, and all of those guys would do. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. We're putting so much time into it. Why don't we actually try to get something out of it? And I just kind of, from there, I just knew that I was gonna get my first offer. And a year later, that's when my life changed, got my first Michigan State offer. And that was a big offer for me. It was a big, big moment because that year is when I tore my meniscus. I tore my meniscus off in April that year. And then I got my offer in July that same year. So I was like, all right, cool. If I can get an offer off a bad knee and a torn meniscus that I haven't had surgery on or anything, then surely I can take this further. And then I just kept working. And now this is where we're at. We're at a point where I'm not playing this sport to just play the sport. I'm playing this sport to dominate. And once you start realizing that you can dominate in the field of whatever you want to do, whether that's working in a regular 9-to-5 or as I said, this American football thing that I'm doing, then you actually realize that you've got to put more time and you've got to put more effort. You've got to make bigger sacrifices. Peter knows about the sacrifices we all had to make in the academy. Like some of us, we came from nothing. So we had to find a way to get through. We had to work 30 hours a week. And then I just realized I've worked so hard. I work 30 hours a week. I'm a student, I study, I train and everything. So I have to make it, you know what I mean? And then just thank God that I'm in the situation that I am now, where I've got somewhere to go in upcoming months.
We'll be back with more from Peter and Kofi after this short break on the Neil Reynolds podcast.
Hello, Neil Reynolds. It is me, Gary Hayes.
Oh, now I know what was missing in my life. There
Happy
it is.
New back. Year.
Happy New Year to you. Happy New
it's
Year
been
to
a while,
you.
Well, right?
It has been, yes. We took a little break for Christmas, but we're back and we're going to motor through the playoffs, through the Super Bowl and keep going with this series of stories from across the football world.
And you had a good break?
I had a break. I had the man flu, Gary. Not once, but twice. Twice.
It was that good. It came back.
It did come back. It had a nice time the first time, went away for about 4 days, and then decided to come back on Christmas night. So, I was a little bit laid up. What about you?
Well, I don't want to make you sound jealous, but I went on a pilgrimage to the US on a Bruce Springsteen-themed road trip.
Oh, fantastic. Which basically means you drove around in your car listening to Bruce Springsteen songs.
I've done it before, and I just thought I'd do it again because it was a busy year. And I needed a break. And actually, the only reason I mention it is not to rub salt in your wounds, but because I wanted to talk about Elite Sports Travel. It's not a road trip as such, because you had a road trip pre-Christmas, obviously, with the team where you were in Nevada and into California for some matches, for some games. But I'm not sure if you're aware, but our friends at Elite Sports Travel, they're not just about NFL, Neil. They're also about other sports, such as Major League Baseball. So did you know that this year, you can have a midsummer weekender where you go over to NYC, you watch the Yankees against the Red Sox, and then you head down to Philly and you get to see the Phillies and you get to see other teams like the Dodgers and White Sox. Do you even know who they are?
I know that. Yeah, that's, I know those baseball teams. I've heard of the Yankees, and I do know of the cities of New York and Philadelphia. So I'm well on the way. Yeah. And what's not to love in that, you know, summer, early summer. And yes, I did know they do other sports, and that's one of the attractions, I think, with Elite Sports Travel. You can go on your NFL trips with them. They do a lot of cricket, Major League Baseball. I know even on the road trip when we went pre-December, they took the crew, took the clients to NBA games as well. So, have you got the details on what that cost?
This midsummer weekender, which is the MLB group trip, it happens in June. I think it happens every June, but Ben will probably message me to correct me. But this year it's happening in June, and it takes in 3 games in 5 days. So you start off in NYC and then you head down to Philadelphia to catch some more action. And if you head over to elitesportstravel.co.uk/MLB/MLB-midsummer-weekender, that's a mouthful. Then you've got more details there. But the price is good as well. I know how expensive these trips can be, because I was stung for a lot of money on my Bruce Springsteen trip just recently. So the price is good, and you get 3 games, flights, transfers, match day transfers, social events, and MLB merchandise. So if you want to know more, to make it a bit easier to get there, if you just head over to elitesportstravel.co.uk/MLB and then follow the prompts from there. And if you want to sample some more American culture that isn't NFL, then that's the way to do it.
Much as I'd like to listen to you record or read that entire link again, which was much fun and very entertaining. Definitely, I would vouch for that. And I'd say you get looked after like your kings and queens. They are the best in the business, the Elite Sports Travel. So check that out. But let's get back to my conversation with Peter and Kofi.
This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Peter, the recruiting process, how did you find that? Because there's 2 sides of it. I mean, I've been on calls with George where, you know, you get very positive indications and feedback, then you just literally never hear from that school again. Then for you as well, there would be those sides where you might have dealt with that. But also, once the offers start to come in, how you deal with that, how you process that, because you're still a young man, yeah. You know, and the, you know, you'd be a temptation to take the very first one that came and grab the first, it's because it could be head spinning, surely.
Yeah, so for me, like, I don't come from much, like, so for me, when I was first getting these offers, it was kind of like I can't afford to lose these offers because I don't have nothing to fall back on. I remember when I got my first one, I was 16. It was in my first year at the academy. Remember when we had those internal scrimmages, the black v white games?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just after the first black v white game. And like, I remember I was talking to Coach Jerome, and I was like, how does this commitment thing work? And he was just like, relax. Like, it's cool. but the recruiting process is the hardest part of football, I would say, because coaches are going to recruit you to their school and they're going to entice you to go there because they want the best athlete they can get. But also they're on the hunt for whatever the best player is. So you got to play the game as much as they're playing the game. You got to learn to see through the smoke. And it's tough. So that hustle mentality that Kofi was talking about, I used to have a list of every Division I school there's 260 or something like that, Division I schools. Then I'd start at the top of the list. I'd go the first one, type in. I know it's something like Akron. So I'll just put Akron coaching staff. Coaching staff list comes up. Put their names in Twitter. DM, follow, yeah. reply. And you just don't stop. You work through that list. You start back at the top. Keep going. And then one day we was at, on our way to New River, and I just messaged. I got all the way down to U. It was UTSA. Yeah, University of Texas, San Antonio. And I text the running back coach. I text all the coaches, but the running back coach, his DMs were open. Spammed him with all my stuff. I turned my data on after practice, and he's like, can you get on the phone tomorrow? So I heard about these calls where coaches just like, they want to get to know you and all that sort of thing. So I thought, hey, he's just probably going to get to know me. So I told Coach Ian and Coach Jerome, I was like, can you just jump on with me? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Mm. I answered the call, and the whole coaching staff was sitting there, and they offered me a scholarship. And I was just like, whoa. Like, it was insane. Like, my first time ever speaking to a college coach, I just got a scholarship, and I was just like, whoa, this is game changing.
You were like, this is easy.
No. It wasn't like that. Like, I can't tell you the feeling of relief that I had. Like, you obviously have to play it cool, but like, you have to be professional on the call and like ask the questions and that stuff. But when I got off that call, like, this is a time when like I was really struggling in what I was doing. Like, I remember hanging up that call and just like crying of just like tears of just like relief of just like the hard work, the sacrifices, the maybe not being able to afford food because you got to pay for travel that week. Like, those sorts of things that everyone's putting in the academy finally paid off. And then that just gave me another like fire in my heart to just like push even more. And then I push, and I end up with 14 scholarships in the end, talking to a bunch of schools and like really doing well for myself. So it was just like a real sense of relief.
Yeah, fantastic. Kofi, within your recruiting process, you've been dealing with one of the greatest players in NFL history in Deion Sanders. Yes. And that led to Jackson State and then a change when he moved. You're heading to Colorado now. What was it like interacting with him? And again, take us through your process.
So really and truly, I started off with very, very, very little interest from any schools at all. So I done a camp circuit, and then the first camp I actually attended was the Michigan State camp. And then I just blew the whole coaching staff's mind away. Like, every drill, they would just follow me. They were like, oh my God, this guy is moving. His hip movement is just better than everyone's here. So they just followed me from circuit to circuit to circuit. And then when we got to the 1v1s and the 7v7s, it was like, wow, this guy who hasn't been playing the sport for so long, he's at a similar level, or he's better than everyone here. And then Mel Tucker took me into the indoor facility. I was there, and then we're just like, hey man, we're going to offer you. I was like, wow. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to react to anything. So I was like, wow, I'm really gonna get an offer. And then he offered me the next day. I woke up like earlier than everyone else. We drove back down to the facility, sat there with the positional coach. We were talking about life, talking about setting up an unofficial visit and everything, getting down to the games. And I was just like, okay, cool, I'm gonna see what happens. And then boom, out of nowhere, stopped speaking to me, stopped messaging me, stopped communicating. At one point, I wanted to commit to the school because I knew that it was going to be hard for me to get more offers from being a national guy. So it was hard to be seen. So I was like, cool, let me try to commit. They said to me, oh, you can't commit right now. You need to get back on campus and everything. I was like, oh, come on, guys. Guys said I was number one on your board at the start. How have I fallen down that quick? But that's just the harsh reality of the game. And then I got all my other offers and everything. Tim Brewster was actually the one to offer me at Jackson State. Tim Brewster, if you guys know about Tim Brewster is a legend in this game. He's done amazing things. He's worked with the likes of Kyle Pitts. We all know Kyle Pitts is a freak. Yeah. Like, that freak boy running the 4.443. It's just, you know. So then after that, I just built a relationship with Coach Brewster. And we're just like, he will message me every day, like, without failure. Sometimes I'll be like, come on, like, let me get some time to think about my decision. Because at this point, I had, I think, I had about 9 offers at this point. And then I just wanted some time to think about the decision that I'm going to make. It's a big decision. Like, this is going to shape my life. It's not just a 4-year decision, as they say. It's a 4-year decision. So speaking to him, and then I started speaking with Coach Hart. And then I jumped on a call with Coach Prime, and I'm just like, wow. His mindset is, as I've said before, dominate. He doesn't want to go and take part in everything. He wants to dominate. He was like, this is going to be a genesis. This is where it's all going to get started. And I was just like, this guy really, really, really wants to better my life. He doesn't just want me to help the team out. It's bigger than football for him. You all know that Coach Brian, what he's done at Jackson State in such a short period of time was incredible. He's changed the narrative. He's changed the scene. So now, after the news broke, I kind of knew before. He told me, they called me and said, Kofi, hey man, we're leaving Jackson State, we're going to Colorado. And that was like a week before they announced it publicly. So I was like, damn, these guys really took the time out to tell me that they're going. So it shows they really want me and they care. Mm. So I knew that I was going with them, but I wasn't really worried or anything. I remember calling Peter. Peter was one of the first people that I told after. I called him, I was like, hey bro, I'm going to Colorado. He was like, what? What do you mean you're going to Colorado? I was like, yeah man, Coach Pam finna leave. Just got to keep it on the low until it's announced and everything. And then, yeah, we're coming. We're going to be a buff. So I'm going to be playing with Sadio Traore, another NFL Academy guy. He's done great things. He's going to be working with Coach Brewster now, who's one of the greatest tight end coaches there is. So just all fell into place.
Yeah, it's going to be brilliant. It's going to be brilliant to see you guys take that next step. Peter, do you think when you take that next step, it's important that you go in with that mindset, and I guess you've got to prove it on the field as well. You can't just walk in and say it, but it's another big step up. It's another even bigger pond. But will you go in with that same mindset that I'm going to the NFL or I'm getting out of it? I mean, the same way you walked in and said at the academy, I'm going to succeed. Are you trying to think about it that way? Have you kind of thought about how you're going to begin this next journey?
Yeah, like I like to think about how I'm going to do things. But at the end of the day, being me got me this far. Yeah. And I believe in me being myself will take me as far as I can go. So I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do what I do on the football field in the weight room. And if that warrants me being one of the best guys there, that's what that warrants. But I understand that you have to be self-confident and you have to have self-belief. So I'm going to go in there with the same mindset of like, I'm here to take over. Like, I'm not here to take part. Like, This ain't something where I'm going to come here and be your friend. Like, this is something where I'm going to come here and I'm trying to stack the money up. So it's going to be tough stepping up to that level. But I have no doubt in my mind with the support structure that I have at the NFL Academy and people like Tashane and Kofi, like, I'm going to have all the support in the world to go and be the best player that I can be.
And then do you guys find it important to be role models? So Peter, I know you've done a lot of the flag coaching as well. Do you guys want to give back? And because there's going to be more, aren't there? I mean, look how many have come out early on in the academy already. Peter, that must be important to know that people are going to be looking at you for guidance, for advice, and as a role model.
Yeah, there's already a lot of international guys that play college football. And with us being the big weight, I call it the big weight. That's what I like to call it. It's like, me, Darren, Sadu, Kofi, Daniel, Akumi, that's going to be coming over next year. Mm-hmm. Like, I call that the big wave, because it's the first wave from the academy to go into college sports and actually make an impact. Look at what Sadu did last year. Look at what Darren did at Vandy. Tunde is at Bryant. Kofi's going to Colorado. So the names that we're attaching ourselves to now are not small names. And for us to be role models for the international guys is huge. But also, it's a big responsibility on us to now perform and uphold what we are, so that it makes that process of recruiting internationals way more accessible. Mm. Because the NFL Academy is only going to grow, and it's going to get bigger, and it's going to get better. So are the athletes. So college sports has got a bit ready for the invasion.
And Kofi, you guys can blaze. Yeah, you can blaze a trail though, Kofi, because it still will come down to how you run, how you lift, how you play, but the perception of an international player, the international bit will just go away. You'll just be a player. You guys can do that.
Yeah, 100%. What Coach Fram said the other day was, he said, our confidence offends their insecurities. So what that means is like a lot of guys are insecure about who they are. I'm not insecure about who I am. You know what I mean? I know I can go over there and I can dominate. So that's the type of confidence I have. So once I go over there and I prove to them that I am who I say I am what Coach Prime brought in to do, I am that guy, then that label of being an international goes away automatically. So it's all about living up to a certain expectation that they've already set me, but the expectation I've also set for myself. I've got a certain expectation for myself that I'm going to go over there, I'm going to give it my all, I'm going to do the best I can do. Like, I'm not going to leave any stone unturned, you know what I mean? So I'm going out there, I've got that mindset that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to win. If I'm going out there to win, I've got to dominate. And then see how it all falls back into place. Mm-hmm. It's like a big continuous circle. So, excuse me. So I'm just, I know once we get over there, as Peter said, the likes of Daniel, me, himself, you got Tariq at Snow as well. He's about to do some crazy mm-hmm. things. I'll show you guys that now. Just a little insider. But yeah, so once we get on that platform and we start doing great things, then it's like, okay, these guys aren't international guys. They're football players just like the rest of us. They're at a disadvantage. And if they can keep up whilst being at that disadvantage, imagine if they had the full support and they've been playing the sport longer, then surely they'll be better than us by now, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's just kind of how I look at it.
Absolutely. So you're going to go from the London Warriors, from the Kent Exiles, through the NFL Academy to Division I colleges. I've just got one last question for both of you. As you go up and up the ranks, will I always get an interview, or will I have to work harder to secure these in the future?
If Deshane shouts me, then you got an interview.
Okay, right. So I'm going to have to work. Kofi's already said yes. So Peter, I've just got to work on you a little bit.
Yeah.
We got the Exiles connection, Kofi. That's what it is.
Yeah,
we don't like the Kent ways. South London Warriors.
Yeah, no, I'm from South as well, but you got to remember that, man.
Yeah, like, you don't wear the same jersey I do.
And that's why you guys are worse than us. You know what I mean?
There you go.
If we line up right now, yeah, bro, you're getting screwed.
Yeah, you know I got you. You know I got you. You'll win. You win 2 out of 10 reps, bro. 2 out of 10. If
but
that.
I weigh 50 pounds more than you and I'm faster than you.
That doesn't matter. You're not faster than me.
I'll tell you what, we're gonna need Temple and Colorado on the same schedule. That's how we fix this with all eyes.
We're gonna need to get to a bowl game, and then we can have that bowl game.
Yeah, you need to get to a bowl game. Don't worry about us, bro. Don't worry about us. We got this. Trust
calm. Me. Calm. Let's have the same energy in it. Calm. Say nothing.
Peter, Kofi, we do wish you all the best. It's a tremendous journey. You're gonna fly the flag. You're gonna do us all proud, and good luck.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So there you are. That's my conversation with Peter and Kofi, wishing them the best of luck as they go off to fly the flag for the UK in Division One college football in the United States. We'll be back next week with another special guest on the Neil Reynolds podcast. Until then, my thanks to Gary Hayes. My thanks to Peter and Kofi for giving up their time. And thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast, brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.